3. Literature.
Excuse me, Professor, I have a question about the coursework listed here.
Okay, what's up?
Well, this course is called Introduction to World Literature, right? But everything on this syllabus list you handed out is European. I thought we'd be reading more international works.
Uh-huh, good point. Let's go ahead and address this. Largely, you are right, and this is unfortunate, so I empathize with your concerns. The reason for focusing on European literary works is that there was a big push in the mid-20th century to standardize what was called the Western Canon, a set of great literary works that literature departments in several countries believed that all students should read. Of course, when I use the term canon, I don't mean the kind you would find on a pirate ship. I mean a group of books. Now, this Western canon is comprised of three eras. You see, literature departments wanted their students to gain exposure to literature from a wide variety of times, as well as styles. The first of these three eras is the Theocratic Age, from the beginning until 1321. Can anyone tell me or guess at what theocratic means?
Is it similar to democratic?
Well, in a way it is. They both end with cratic, don't they? Who controls the power in a democratic system?
The voters, the people, right?
Exactly right. But in a theocratic system, it's a god or a supernatural authority that has the power. The Theocratic Age, then, was a time in which most nations were ruled according to religious laws. Books of the Western canon from the Theocratic Age include the Sumerian Epic of Gilgamesh, Roman and Greek works like the Odyssey, and the Old English epic poem, Beowulf. I hope you'll notice that all of these works are epic tales with righteous heroes. Now, the second of the three ages covered in the Western canon is the Aristocratic Age. The works of this age start with Dante's Commedia Divina and run up to Goethe's Faust Part II, penned in 1832. Other works of this age include Cervantes' Don Quixote, Shakespeare's Oeuvre, the Canterbury Tales, and so on. This period saw the emergence of comedy and shorter forms of poetry, like sonnets and ballads. Is everyone keeping up? The Theocratic Age featured epics and heroic tales, and the Aristocratic Age saw the emergence of other styles, like comedies and short poems. Now, the third period covered in the Western canon is the Democratic Age. We mentioned how people have the power in democratic systems. Well, in the Democratic Age, we saw writers from many different backgrounds get published and gain prominence. The works of this period mainly include English, French, and Russian writers, including Flaubert's Madame Bovary, Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, and Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn. Those already familiar with these works will recognize that these works incorporate new and interesting voices that were not represented in past ages. Indeed, the major advances in the Aristocratic Age include the psychological novel, the anti-hero, and the new voices and perspectives I mentioned. Now, admittedly, this is a very Eurocentric and, more particularly, very Anglo-centric grouping of literature. There is, of course, a wealth of literature from other areas of the world. East Asian literature, for example, was particularly rich, featuring works such as the Tao and Analects of Confucius, among many others. The Vedas and the Bhagavad Gita of ancient India certainly deserve attention, as do the Quran and the writings of the Arab philosophers who guarded the torch of learning while Europe slept through the Dark Ages. Of course, there is also a wealth of oral tradition from many other places in the world. Hopefully, in the future, this European slant will give way to a more eclectic sampling. I certainly encourage all of you to seek out this literature as much as you can. It is important to remember, however, that the 21st century world is, well, held together by the glue of English. I mean that English is the universal language now, and Anglo-American culture has the greatest influence throughout the world, for better or for worse. So, my point is, knowledge of this culture is useful for all of us.
Number 1.
What is the talk mainly about? Number 2. What is the student's attitude towards the coursework list? Number 3. What reason is given for the nature of the course material? Number 4. What does the professor imply when she says this?
It is important to remember, however, that the 21st century world is, well, held together by the glue of English.